Okay, we're continuing our series of shiurim related to the Parshas HaShavua and to the Mo'adim. Today's topic is entitled Reflections on the Month of Menachem Av. We usually think of Mo'adim as Yom Tovim. For example, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are all Yom Tovim, and at the same time, they're Mo'adim. It would seem that the first half of the month of Menachem Av has no Moed, it has no Yom Tov, it only has Tisha B'Av, which is certainly no Yom Tov. But in fact, Tisha B'Av is a Moed. We find in Megillas Eicha, the Pasuk says concerning Tisha B'Av, Kora Olai Moed. So we see that Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. The question is, how can we call Tisha B'Av, which is the saddest day on the Jewish calendar, how can you refer to it as a Moed? So Rav Gifter Zitzel says in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Avram Yitzchak Bloch, Hashem Yinkam Damav, he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He says that from the fact that Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, we see that the definition of the word Moed is different than our usual thinking of Yom Tov. And therefore, he says that the word Moed comes from what it says, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Yehi beischa beis vad l'chachamim. Your house should be a meeting place for Talmidei Chachamim. So the word Moed has in it the root word. It's Mem Vav Ayin Dalet, that's how you spell it. The root word is Vav Ayin Dalet, Beis Vad. It should be a meeting. So what does it mean? It means that a person meets Hashem on a Moed. So usually we meet our father Hashem with a kiss and a hug. It's Mo'adim L'Simcha. Most of our Mo'adim are happy occasions, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. There we see our Father in a very benevolent manner. He's showing us his rachamim, he's showing us his chesed, his ava. But there are times, we know when a father has to be a good father, there's times where a child's running out in the middle of the street, a young child, that's not a time for rachamim, that's a time he has to get a punch to know that he shouldn't do that again. So there's times when we meet Hashem, such as Tisha B'Av, where he's also, we're meeting our father, but we're not meeting him Mo'adim L'Simcha, we're meeting him Moed, where unfortunately it's a day of tragedy, it's a day, a sad day, on the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. So this is the definition of Tisha B'Av in terms of Kara Olai Moed, that Tisha B'Av itself is known as a Moed. Now, I said before that there was no Yontif in the first half of Menachem Av, but actually in the second half, there is a Yontif, and that Yontif is Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Tainis, and it's brought in the Gemara there, on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Lo Hayu Yomim Tovim LiYisrael, there were no greater holidays, no greater Yom Tovim, happy days, Kechamisha Asur Be'av U'Kiyom HaKippurim, like Chamisha Asur Be'av and Yom Kippur. Even though Yom Kippur is a day, the most serious day in the Jewish calendar, but in fact, it's the greatest Yontif, because we get a mechila, a forgiveness for all our averus. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said that if Yom Kippur would come out once in 70 years, every parent would wish their children, I hope you live through a Yom Kippur. To be able to receive mechila savonis, that we lose all our averus, that's why in that sense Yom Kippur is the greatest Yom Tov in the Jewish calendar. But the Gemara is telling us also there's another great Yontif, and that is equal to Yom Kippur, and that is Tu B'Av. And what happened on Tu B'Av? Shebahen, on Tu B'Av and on Yom Kippur, Shebahen Benos Yerushalayim, Yotzos, the daughters of Yerushalayim used to go out, and they used to make Shaduchim on that day, on Yom Kippur and on Tu B'Av. Exactly what the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av was, the Gemara gives different explanations. One explanation is that they used to cut wood for the Beis HaMikdash to be brought on the Mizbeach. And the wood after Tu B'Av was rotten wood that had worms in it, so they wouldn't cut wood after Tu B'Av, and that allowed the men used to have more time to learn. Till Tu B'Av, they were busy cutting the wood. After Tu B'Av, they could spend their time learning, so that made it a great Yom Tov. But whatever the case may be, Tu B'Av was considered on a parallel with Yom Kippur as a Yom Tov. So this brings me to the Arizal. The Arizal's yard site is on Hay Menachemov. And the Arizal is the one, the great Arizal who lived in Sfas, the great Mekubal. He tells us that Menachem Av stands for Menachem Aleph Beis. The letters of the month of Av are Aleph Beis. So Menachem Av means Menachem Aleph Beis. What does it mean, Menachem Aleph Beis? So I was thinking perhaps that we can say two explanations in what it means, Menachem Aleph Beis. One is, as we just mentioned, that Av is, there's a Av Aleph and an Av Beis. In other words, the month of Av is divided into two halves. The first half of the month is a sad month, the saddest part of the Jewish calendar. The second half of the month, starting with Tu B'Av, contains in it one of the happiest days in the Jewish calendar, which is Chamisha Asar B'Av, the 15th of Av, as we just mentioned. So Av is divided, it's like two parts. Someone mentioned to me, I didn't find a source for this, someone said that Av is the only month that has two mazolas attached to it. Every month has its own mazel, and Av has two of those mazolas. But be that as it may, we find that it's, there's two halves. There's a Menachem of Aleph, and there's a Menachem of Beis. And I think we can understand this further with something that Rabbi Rabinowitz, Rabbi Nachum Rabinowitz, who works in our Kashrus department here in the OU, he showed me something from his great-great-grandfather. His name was Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Monastrich. He was the Monastrich Rabbi. And he wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Divrei Yeshua. And he points out that Shabbos Nachamu, we always read Parshas Veschanan. In Parshas Veschanan is the bridge, so to speak, between Av Aleph and Av Beis, because it's either right between Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av, or this year actually, Shabbos Nachamu, Parshas Veschanan, was read on Tu B'Av, because Tu B'Av this year came out on Shabbos. So it says at the beginning of Parshas Veschanan that Veschanan El Hashem Bo'eis Ha'ilem, or Moshe prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time, saying, Hashem Elokim, he used Hashem's two names. Hashem is the Rachamim of Hashem, and Elokim is the Midas Hadin of Hashem. And he asked him to let him go into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem's answer after 515 times that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalled, that's what the numerical value of the word Ve'eschanon, and I prayed to Hashem, is 515. Moshe davened 515 times to be able to have the schus to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he davened to Hashem Elokim, and to the Midas HaDin of Hashem and to Midas Rachman. So the Divrei Yeshua says, Voeschanon Be'ei Sahi. Be'ei stands for Be'ei Ace. there are two times a person has to daven to Hashem, and he has to realize that everything is from Hashem in the two periods of a person's life. A person is either in the period which he sees Elohim, he sees the justice of Hashem, the midas hadin of Hashem, when things seem to be going not good for him, and he also has to daven to Hashem in the other ace, the ace tov, when everything's going great, when Hashem, he sees Hashem, he sees everything being done for him. So he develops the idea that a person has to always remember it's from Hashem. In the good times, in that ace, the ace tov, he shouldn't get carried away. Let's say he's successful, he does a business deal where he makes a lot of money. He shouldn't say, "Oh, koichi v'oitzim yodi asuli yisachal azeh. I made this deal. It was my brains and it was my ingenuity to maneuver this deal." No. Don't forget who Me'es Hashem Yotza Adover. This came from Hashem. When it's good for you, don't get carried away. And on the other hand, when things seem to be not good, don't get broken by it. Daven to Hashem and realize this also comes from Hashem. Veschanan el Hashem ba'es ahi beis eis, the eis tov and the opposite, when it doesn't look so good, in both times a person has to daven to Hashem. So it's very appropriate that the parsha that is lain between the first half of Av and the second half of Av is Parshas Veschanan, that both Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av, the saddest day, the happiest day of the Jewish calendar, everything we have to always remind ourselves comes from Hashem. So perhaps that might be one idea in Menachem Aleph Beis, that Av represents Av Aleph and Av Beis. A final idea I was thinking is the following. Menachem Aleph Beis refers to the osios HaTorah. We know that the Torah is made from Chaf Beis Osios. There are 22 letters to the Torah. So perhaps we are asking Hashem to be menachem us, to give us comfort during the month of Av, for the loss of the 22 letters of the Torah, as I'm going to develop this thought. In other words, we're asking Hashem for nechama on the essence of Torah, which is made from the Aleph Beis, the 22 holy letters of the Torah, and this represents the loss of the pnimius of Torah, the inner gestalt, the inner importance of the words of the Torah, as we're going to develop this thought. And I'd like to develop it with a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, "Hu hoya omer." This is in Perek Hey, Mishnah Chaf Gimel. Yehuda ben Tema said the following: "Az ponim legehenam, uboshes ponim legan Eden." A person who's an audacious person will wind up in Gehinnom, and a person who has busha will wind up in Gan Eden. And then suddenly we find a tefillah that we don't find this anywhere else in Pirkei Avos. What's the tefillah? Yehi rotzim lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu, may it be your will, Hashem, the our God and the God of our forefathers, sheyibone beis hamigdash b'mheirav yameinu, that the beis hamigdash should be built quickly in our time, v'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha, and you should give us our portion in the Torah. So all the meforshim, all the commentaries, commentators ask the question here, what is the meaning of this tefillah? It's a beautiful tefillah, but what's it doing here in the middle of Pirkei Avos? Suddenly we have this tefillah. So there are many explanations given. What I'd like to share with you is a beautiful pshat that I heard once again. I quoted Reb Gifter before. Once again, I heard this from, I had the schus to learn a little bit. I don't know if I'm a Talmud of Reb Gifter, but I had the schus to hear him a little bit in the Telz Yeshiva, which I attended. And this thought I actually didn't hear in Telz. I heard it at a Torah Masorah convention. And he said, the answer to this question, he quoted a Rav Elazari. Rav Elazari was the Rav of Canton, Ohio. And Rav Elazari said a beautiful pshat based on a marsha. And the idea is as follows, also on a gra. The Vilner Goin tells us he has a Pirush HaMishnayos, and he says this tefillah is in the wrong place. By accident, somehow it wound up in this Mishnah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Chav Gimel, but actually it belongs right at the end of the fifth Perek. The final Mishnah in the fifth Perek, it's now a very popular song sung at all chasanas, Ben Bug Bug Omer, Hafoch Ba Hafoch Ba Dekulaba, and following that comes the 26th Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the fifth Perek, Ben Heye Omer, Lefum Tsar Agra. I think Ben Heye is also has become a song. So I'm sure everyone will remember these words because it's now a popular song. So after Ben Heye says Lefum Tsar Agra comes this tefillah of Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Kaveseinu Sheibane Beis Hamikdash Me'arev Imenu V'Seinchel Kenu B'Sar Secha. So the great brain raw after he tells us what the right place, where the right place is for this tefillah, he gives an enigmatic explanation. He gives an explanation, but we really don't know what it means. Rav Elazari explains beautifully what the Vilna Gaon means. What does the Vilna Gaon say? He says the meaning of this tefillah is based on a pasuk in Eicha, which is Malka v'soreha bagoyim ein Torah. The king and the princes are in exile amongst the nations of the world, ain't Torah, there's no Torah. Says the Vilna Gaon, there is not possible to have Torah without a Beis HaMikdash. Believe Mikdash, there's no Torah. And we're going to explain what the Gra means. That's all the Gra says. So it's still not clear exactly what's it doing at the end of the fifth Perek. What is the meaning over here? So Rav Elazari says the meaning is based on a Marsha. And the Marsha is based on a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, I believe it's Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, right at the bottom, the Gemara says that this world will last for 6,000 years. We're now in the year 5,765, coming to the conclusion of that year, Tav Shin Samachay. In the year 6,000 will be the end of the world. And the world goes, according to the Gemara, goes through three cycles. The first 2,000 years was Soyhu Vavoyu, was emptiness, wasteland, and as the world didn't really accomplish anything. Then in 1948, not when the State of Israel was created, but 1948, from the beginning of the creation of the world, Avram was born. When Avram was 52 years old, the world came to 2,000 years old. And that was the year when Avram, it says, Hanefesh Asher Asu B'Charon, creation by Avram and Sarah of people. Rashi explains, Avram was Megayer the Gerim, the men, and Sarah Megayeris as Hanashim. Avram was Megayer the Zacharim, the men, and Sarah the women. So when Avram was 52 years old and he began bringing the concept of monotheism, of believing in Hashem to the whole world, that's when the world entered into the next 2,000 years. What are the next 2,000 years? 2,000 years of Torah. The last 2,000 years are the 2,000 years that we are living in of Yemos HaMashiach. We are... We're already, according to almost every opinion, in Ikvis of the Mashiach. Ikvis of the Mashiach means the footsteps of Mashiach. We already hear the footsteps. The world events that have happened recently and are happening are the footsteps leading up to Mashiach. And therefore, the last 2,000 years are called the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. So Rashi says that the 2,000 years of Torah ended 172 years after the Churban, with the death of Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who wrote the Mishnayos. He brought together all the Mishnayos and put it into what we have, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. He died 172 years after Churban Bayisheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple, and that brought to a close the 2,000 years of Torah. And when he died 172 years after the Churban, that was the year 4,000 from the beginning of the creation of the world, the end of the 2,000 years of Torah. Says Rashi, wait a second, Torah didn't end. We have to, in fact, we are flourishing with Torah in our days. We have perhaps the largest yeshivas that ever existed in the history, Lakewood Yeshiva, Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, for over 4,000 Talmidim. I don't know if there was ever a time in the history of Klal Yisrael where we had one yeshiva with such a great amount of students of Talmidim learning. So Rashi says we have Torah today. So Rashi says you're right. The Torah lasts for 4,000 years, the last 4,000 years of the world. And there's an overlap. The last 2,000 years are Yemos HaMashiach, leading up to Mashiach, plus their Torah. The reason the Gemara says 2,000 years so empty, 2,000 years Torah, and 2,000 years Yemos HaMashiach is to make it symmetrical, that everything is with 2,000. But in fact, Torah is not 2,000, Torah is 4,000. This is the pshat of Rashi. The Marsha disagrees. And the Marsha says, no, there is only 2,000 years of Torah. And he quotes the same pasuk as the Vilna Gaon. Malka v'soreha bagoyim ain Torah. There is no more. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews went into exile, the king and the princes went into exile, there is no more Torah. In other words, says the Marsha, the Torah like sputtered on for another 172 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash till when Rebbe died. Well, it still kept going. The momentum from the Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha, the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, even after it was destroyed, it still continued on for another 172 years. But then there's no more Torah. What this means, we just said, there's yeshivas with thousands and thousands of Talmidim. What does it mean, there's no Torah? We're going to explain in a moment. But we just want to explain clearly what the Marsha is saying. He disagrees with Rashi. He says every 2,000 years has its own identity. There's 2,000 years of Sohu, Vavo, emptiness. 2,000 years starting with Avram, when Avram was 52 years old, and he made the Gerim. For another 2,000 years is Torah. In there, of course, is Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai. That's 2,000 years of Torah. Then the Torah ended, and then now we have the last 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. That's according to the Marsha. So, what does it mean, in fact, that we don't have Torah with so many Talmidim learning? So Rav Gifter said over a marshal from the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda, Rav Chatzkel Landau Zitzal, the great famous Noda B'Yehuda, he wrote a sefer called Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda gives a marshal. There was once an elderly gentleman and a young child who were both shipwrecked. They were marooned on an island all by themselves. They were hoping to get saved, that a boat would come and save them. But meanwhile, the older man said he wanted to help the young child. The young child hadn't even learned Aleph Beis, and he was a bright boy. So the elderly man said, you know what? I'm going to teach him Aleph Beis. So he started in the sand. He would make a picture of an Aleph, and he would say with the comets, it's Oh, Patach, Ah, Oh, Ah, Eh. And bo ba be go ga ge. After a while, the boy asked the older man, "Hey, what am I learning? Why are you teaching me all these funny sounds? What do I have to know these funny sounds?" So the older man said, "We hope that Hashem will save us. They'll come and save us. They'll bring us to a Jewish community. And if you'll know these letters and the sounds, you'll be able to go into any yeshiva or any beis medrash, any shul. You'll open up a siddur and you'll be able to daven the whole siddur. You'll be able to open up a chumash and learn the whole chumash. So therefore, even though now we don't have any sforim here, But if you know these sounds and how to read these letters, it'll prepare you for your Jewish life in the future. And so it was. They got saved, Baruch Hashem. They came to a city, and the boy went into a shul, and he was able to learn and daven because he knew the Aleph Beis. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, we are miss Ein Torah. Malkavus Areva Goyim Ein Torah. The Vilner Goyim says that without a Beis HaMikdash, without the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no full Torah. We have the external part of the Torah, but the Pnimius HaTorah, what the Torah really means, the essence of the Torah is lost until Mashiach comes. What all the yeshivas, Lakewood and Brisk and Mir and all the Ponovich, the great yeshivas in the world today, what they're doing is preparing for the day when we'll have the real Torah. They're just going through the bo babe o ae go gage. They're going through the sounds of the Torah as deep as they think they're learning, and they're learning very deep, but that's all the exterior of the Torah. The real depths of what the Torah means, the inside pnimius haTorah, that they'll only have when Mashiach comes. But we have to do as much as we are able to do. So we go through like the motions. We give the lip service. We go through the sounds of the Torah, but the very essence or soul of the Torah, that we have to wait until Mashiach comes. Rashi's of the opinion that we have the Torah till Mashiach comes, the real Torah. But the Marsha's opinion is like the Vilner Gaon, Malkivus Areva Gaon, Ein Torah, we don't have the real Torah. We have to wait for Mashiach. According to this, it's very beautiful what the Tefillah is. Why? Because as is known, Pirkei Avos is really the first five prakim of Pirkei Avos. The sixth perik is not a part of, is not a real part of Pirkei Avos, but since there are six Shabbosos between Pesach and Shavuos, and everyone's minig, there are different minhagim after Shavuos. Some say Pirkei Avos, some don't. But everyone's minig is to say Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. It's a preparation for Kabbalas HaTorah on Shavuos. So on the sixth Shabbos, there's only five prakim of Pirkei Avos. They took a Perek from the Brisa, which is the outside Mishnayos, which are really not a part of the real Mishnayos, and that Perek is called Perek Kinyan Torah, and it speaks all about how a person, the 48 ways that a person acquires Torah, everything you have to do to acquire Torah. So they said, this is a very appropriate, we'll make it part of Pirkei Avos, even though it's not really part of Pirkei Avos, and we'll say it on the sixth Shabbos, right before Shavuos, preparing ourselves how to be Kona de Torah on Shavuos. So as far as what's really part of Pirkei Avos, it's only five prakim. So when Rebbe finished the fifth perik of Pirkei Avos, and what he had done, Moshe Kibal Torah Masinai, Rebbe had written down for us the Mesoras HaTorah. Moshe Kibal Torah Masinai, he received the Torah and he gave it over to Yeshua, and then Yeshua to the Zakenim, etc., etc. And he traced the Mesoras HaTorah, the tradition of giving Torah from one generation to the other, from Moshe Rabbeinu until his time, which was 172 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and he ended it off with the last one, who was Ben-Hei-Hei Omer, what Ben-Hei-Hei said. At that time, Rebbe said, okay, now that I've traced the Mesorah, and now the way the Vilner Goyen and the Marshal learn that it's the Malkavus Areva Goyim Ein Torah, now with 172 years, with my death, Rebbe knew that the Mesoras HaTorah of the real Torah is coming to an end. So now Rebbe said, the Vilner Goyen says, put that prayer, that tefillah, which we have in Mishnah Chaf Gimel, that's the wrong place for it. It was put there by accident. The real place is following the last words of the fifth perek, because what Rebbe is saying now, it was Rebbe's tefillah. Rebbe is saying, Yehi Ratzon Mufanech Hashem Elokeinu Kevasen, may it be your will, Hashem, Sheyibane Beis HaMikdash Me'erev Yameinu. We need the Beis HaMikdash again. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon says, without the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have the real Torah. V'sein Chalkeinu B'sarasecha. Once the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, then we'll have the real Torah. Give us a portion, give us our chelek in the real Torah, which contains not only the letters of the Torah, not only the words, not only the sounds of the Torah, but it contains within it the very essence of the Torah. V'sein chalkeinu b'sar Sheres Echa. So it's beautiful now, according to this, according to Rabbi Lazari, who brought the Marsha, explaining the Vilna Gaon, we have a beautiful pshat here, why we have this tefillah at the end of the fifth perek of Pirkei Avos. So I had this chus this year, and with this we will conclude, that I sometimes substitute for Rabbi Elephant, who gives the Daf Yomi on the OU website. I had this chus to say, I didn't say it on Tisha B'Av, I prepared it before Tisha B'Av, but I said the Daf Gemara, which was Tisha B'Av's Daf. And what Daf was that? Daf Kuf Dalet of Masech Teshabbos. My daughter asked me a question, and that was, why did Rav Meir Shapiro, who invented the Daf Yomi, why did he make a Daf for Tisha B'Av when you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? So why make it? It's like we're in onus, by force, we can't even learn that Daf. So why don't you just skip that day? You're not going to learn it anyway. So this year's Daf on Tisha B'Av, I have a very good answer to my daughter's question. Because what was this year's Daf about? This year's Daf was about what the letters of the Torah mean. In other words, Gimel Dalet, says the Gemara, Gomel Dalet. Aleph Beis means Aluf Bina, learn and understand the words of the Torah. Gimel Dalet, Gomel Dalim, always do chesed to poor people, etc., etc. The Gemara goes through every letter of the Aleph Beis. In other words, what's the Gemara teaching us on this Tisha B'Av? The Gemara was teaching us the Pnimius HaTorah, the inside of the letters. The letters are not just, we give them a name, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and other nations have also similar names for their letters of the alphabet. No, the letters themselves of the Torah have an inner message, an inner essence, an inner beauty, what these letters represent. So the message perhaps is that on Tisha B'Av, we can't learn this Torah. We need a nechama. That's what the Arizal said. Menachem Av is Menachem Aleph Beis. We need a nechama. We are used to mourning on Tisha B'Av for the Beis HaMikdash, for Yerushalayim. We forget there's a one other component that we need a comfort for. Because according to the Marsha and the Vilna Gaon, we don't have the real Torah. The very essence of Shabbos, Masech to Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet, which was the Daf Yomi on Tisha B'Av this year, we're missing that. We need a nechama for the Aleph Beis. We need a nechama for the inner message of the Torah, which we don't have, because without a Beis HaMikdash, Malkav Yisrael B'Goyim, ain't Torah, we don't have that Torah. And we ask Hashem, we daven to Hashem, that you should give us a nechama, not only for the Beis HaMikdash, not only for Yerushalayim, which we need a comfort for, but you should give us a comfort of the Aleph Beis of the Torah. And that's what we say fervently, the tefillah of Yiratzim Ufanecha Hashem Elokeinu Kevaseinu Sheyibane Beis HaMikdash B'mheiriv Yameinu V'sein Chalkeinu B'sarasecha. We should see the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and we should be able to learn and appreciate the inner beauty of the Torah represented by the letters of the Torah. May that day come soon in our times. Amen.